Well, what a summer it has been. And I am glad to finally be here in this beautiful sanctuary. And the first time that I saw it, and I'm from northern New England, by the way, I thought, wow, this is a New England Congregational Unitarian Universalist sanctuary. There are pews. There are doors on the pews. It's amazing. And being from northern New England, I have some experience with these beautiful, beautiful sanctuaries. So it was wonderful. Deb, thank you very much for doing the service today and all the 2,648 other tasks that you're doing. And I'm sure Deb, from time to time, would love to have more volunteers. She didn't ask me to say that. I am. But the services take an effort to make them happen. You've got staff. You've got volunteers for after the service. You've got Bill, is it Bill? Am I right? Bill up in AV for all the work they do to make Sunday morning work. I also want to thank everyone who helped me move in at the beginning of August and the gatherings to meet you in small groups. Josh and Jennifer, Peggy, Bill, and Ross, and Sue, and Ted, and I believe, Deb, you're hosting another one on Friday. I chose the water blessing words because they talk about a dynamic tension in America and also within Unitarian Universalism. The dynamic tension between individualism and community. And those particular words, we are many, we are one, could read, we are many individuals, but we are one community. Now we use, and I'm going to use that shortened abbreviation, tend to focus on the individual. But what about community? How important is that for us? So I'm going to share three brief stories about how powerful community can be, and two of them happened this week. I'll then invite us to explore some symbols of what this church community can be, and then we're going to end with a short meditation time before we have our closing hymn. First story. You may have heard about the weekly Climate Fridays for Future strikes around the world. Has anybody here heard of those? Okay, good, good. These strikes have been organized in part by the 16-year-old Swedish activist Greta Thunberg, who recently crossed across the Atlantic Ocean by boat to remind us that air travel releases huge amounts of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. What happens is that children and youth in particular leave their schools on Fridays to march and speak and demonstrate about the climate crisis that is now upon us. This coming Friday will be a worldwide organized strike wherein people of all ages will leave their homes, schools, and offices together to gather together in support of our collective future. The amazing thing is that in making this happen in the last two or three years, a worldwide community of millions and millions of people was created quickly because of social media. And sometimes we blame social media for a lot, but this is one of the ways. It's a gift. I checked, and the event that will be happening here on Friday will be at the campus center up at the college at 12 noon. I will be there, and I hope some of you will be there as well. That's community. Second story. I was at the Seattle-Tacoma Airport on Wednesday, September 11th. It's coming back to Pittsburgh. I was in the TSA line when the airport announcer asked everyone to have 3 minutes of silence at 5:46 a.m. It was to remember all the lives lost on 9/11 when the first plane struck the Twin Towers in New York at 8:46 Eastern Time. The entire airport was totally silent. And SeaTac is a very busy airport. No one talked. A baby was quietly hushed by a mother. The TSA staff were quiet, and several of them surreptitiously wiped tears from their eyes. Only after the announcer thanked everyone for taking part did the usual hustle and bustle and voices begin again. But even then, it was a slow beginning because the silence was so precious. That, too, is community at its best. Third story. Some of you know this one already. I moved here in early August with my two indoor cats. On August 20th, a stray skinny cat came to my porch meowing for food. I, of course, immediately got out dry food and gave it to her. And sure enough, she came by every day, morning, noon, and night, for dry food and then wet food. She was also very pregnant. No one's cat, very friendly, but was asking for help. So a neighbor who works for a local veterinarian and I decided, well, let's take her to the vet to see how the kittens are doing and do some tests. There was no way she was going to get into a carrier. She was friendly, but not that friendly. So I asked another neighbor who loves cats as well, there's a theme here, by the way, if she would come by to take care of my two cats while I was away in Washington State in Oregon this last week. And I had put dishes of water and food out for the stray cat as well, along with a box with a towel in it, which she totally ignored. We all thought, well, she'll probably have kittens in a couple weeks. Sure enough, my cat care neighbor texted me on Monday, this Monday, say that the stray is in the box with the towel on my porch having kittens. She called the other neighbor who works at the vet to be prepared for the arrival of mother and kittens within 15 minutes. So Missy Kitty, which was my temporary name for her, had 5 kittens at the vet's office. They were all healthy, happy, and healthy. And the neighbor who was the vet assistant, who'd never had a cat in his life and didn't even know if he liked cats, said, I'll take them all to my house. And I will make sure they get shots and they get neutered, especially the mother, and until they're old enough to find homes. And interestingly enough, the mother cat is about 6 months old. So they are being taken care of. That's another community. It took 3 of us to care for a stray kitty who asked for our help. We were all in the right place and the right time to help her be safe and to have a bountiful family of kittens. I will add here, just in case you're worried about it, they all have new homes. So I'm not going to be gently persuading anyone to take a kitten, although it was tempting. But they're all going to have new homes, they're all going to be neutered, they're going to get shots. And it was a beautiful moment of everything came together so that we could take care of this one little creature who was obviously seeking our help. So those 3 stories, I think, talk about community at its best. Well, how about you folks? Unitarian Universalist Church of Meadville. What makes you unique and vital? Well, I came here in early June, and I met some of you that time, to look at Meadville. I did a service in Erie, and Deb gave me a tour of Meadville. And I saw the front of the sanctuary building for the first time in person. And I wondered to myself, goodness, that's a gorgeous building. And I tried to think, okay, what would a first-time visitor or a person walking by or just passing by think? Well, it's imposing. It's solid. I thought, well, it could be a bank building or maybe a courthouse or even a temple. The building also could look just a little bit intimidating for some people as well. But that's not what caught my eye. What impressed me, and you know this already, the four columns that hold up the front of the building. And for me, they give a sense of strength and stability and purpose. So I asked myself, I wonder what those four columns or pillars would symbolize about Unitarian Universalism in Meadville today. How would they describe your identity or purpose in coming years? We can come up with a lot of ideas. Someone I noticed, and I think it's been there for a while, in a dining room has a banner, or has a picture of the columns, and there are words on each one: love, respect, reason, justice. Okay, that works. Those are four good words. Someone, very humorously, after we were talking about Good Omens, did anybody see the movie or the series Good Omens? Okay. And Good Omens is a hysterically funny end of the world movie. I recommend it highly. And instead of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, it's the four bikers of the apocalypse, or sometimes the four horsepersons, because there is one woman involved. She's war. Anyway, so we could have used those four: death, pollution, famine, and war. But those would probably give us a reputation that might not be what you want. So we put all that aside, and then somebody said, well, what about community as one pillar? Because when I went to these small group meetings earlier this last month, people were saying, I wanted to join a community like that would appreciate me, that I'd feel safe in, that is open to new ideas. And I heard that from almost everyone. And that's good, but I'm going to disagree on this one. I don't think a pillar is community. I think the pillars and what they represent support the community, that is this sanctuary building, and far more importantly, everyone here, as well as all those who have come before us. The pillars give the community strength and stability at the best and hardest of times. So, how do we decide what to name those four pillars? This is where Unitarian Universalism gets exciting. Well, why not have a contest this fall? How about if we have a small group platform to be able to get some of them as well, and they come up with the four best ones? Now, there would have to be a prize, and I could maybe cook a Chinese dinner for the winners. Not all the winners, but some of the winners. Oh, hell, all the winners. The four suggested names in the kitchen or the dining room: love, respect, reason, and justice. Those are good ones. But what about possibilities like this? Spirituality, open-mindedness, future-focused, joyful. In my wilder moments, I fantasize that we would have vertical banners with the names or the words on them on the columns. And then, even wilder moment, I was thinking, well, maybe we could have different colored lights on each one representing a different value and shine them at night where everyone in Meadville would see them. I get carried away sometimes. But more seriously, the four pillars of Unitarian Universalism in Meadville might give us some helpful directions as we plan for your 200th anniversary in 2035. And you know what? It's coming right up. It'll be here before you know it. And it's never too early to start that planning. So I said here, what do you think? Because that's going to be the meditation in a moment. And I will end this with a short meditation with that question: what are the four pillars of Unitarian Universalism in Meadville? And just reflect on it. You don't have to say anything. Just think about it. But first, I would like to remind you, as Krista said earlier, that next Sunday is my Stump the Minister service. You can send any question to Jody at the office, or Peggy Morgish. Peggy, is you here someplace? There you are, way in the back. Anyway, you could send a question that you want to have asked me. You want somebody, pulpit assistant, ask me. And here's the thing. I will not hear or see any of the questions in advance. It's always a lot of fun. So I'd invite you to do that this week. So let's take a few moments to relax. It's been a good service. We've had a ritual that's very powerful. We've had wonderful music. As the song goes, it is so good to be together. What are those four pillars that hold and embrace and strengthen community? What do you think they might be? This morning I wondered how many Sundays since this building was built. It's approximately 9,609 Sundays. Every one of them, people were relying on this community, on this building, to save their lives, to make the world a better place. And those pillars were there.